This is the Cross Point Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
Good morning. Welcome to Theater 166 and Cross Point's Gathering. My name is David Knight. For those of you who don't know, I'm the DNA accelerator around here. Basically, that means it's my job to kind of look at what we are as a church, our DNA, and then kind of move it forward and help get you guys all involved in the process. Our lead pastor, David Wahlstedt, is out of town. He's in Uganda right now on a mission trip to deliver some shoes. And he actually sent me a little message on Facebook this morning. It says, I'm done preaching. Now it's your turn. We started at 10:30 and finished at 1:15. So sit back and get relaxed. No, I promise not to go that long. We began last week our new series, Renovate, where we're taking a look at our stories about God and God's story about us and trying to see God in a whole new way. Last week we talked about, I had a refrain that I used over and over and over. Does anybody remember what it was? How you see God affects the way you see everything else in life. That's right. And we believe that's true. And so that's what we're going to continue looking at today. But before we begin, I would like to take a moment just to pray, if you guys don't mind. It is church, so I'm allowed to do that. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you that our team in Uganda is safe and they're doing a great job. I thank you all these people got here safely today in the rain and the coldness. And I just pray that this morning you will speak in and through me and allow my words to be your words. Give us a time of blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And then before I continue on, I do want to give a huge round of applause to our band. Where are you guys? Yeah. They do a great job. We really appreciate it. You know, they all have regular jobs, and yet every Sunday morning they get here at 8:15 after long weeks of work and maybe some partying Saturday night. I don't know. Jeff. But they come here and they get ready and prepared to lead you guys in worship, and I just think they do an awesome job. Which leads me to a beautiful segue of how many of you struggled to get out of bed this morning? Wow. I can totally relate. I don't know about you guys, but this has been a really long week for me. In fact, I thought about it yesterday, and I've actually been up at the church every day this week for various things. As most of you know, we have a lot of different things that go on throughout the week, and Kylie and I were here for a bunch of them. We have other people come up and do some stuff, but it's just been a really long week getting ready for this message and a bunch of other stuff. And some of you, if you're honest today, you're tired. Maybe you're just physically tired, and it's understandable. In the 1850s, they did a study that showed that the average person slept for 10 hours a night. How many of us are getting 10 hours of sleep at night? And the interesting thing about that is that's the average, which means that there were some people sleeping 13 and 14 hours a night. Rough lives back then. And then, of course, our current sleep patterns give us about 6 hours of sleep a night. So it's no wonder that we're tired, just physically tired. Maybe some of you come in here this morning, you're emotionally tired. You know, maybe you've had a difficult week, maybe relationally, maybe that coworker, maybe your spouse, maybe your boss, maybe your brother, maybe your sister. Maybe, who knows? Who knows what you've got going on? Life just kind of comes at you and it wears you down emotionally. Maybe you're spiritually exhausted. Perhaps you've been coming to church for a while and you've been trying to do all the things that you think God wants you to do. That leaking's annoying. Sorry. That's why we cut off this whole section, by the way. It wasn't just leaking. Maybe you've been trying to do all the things that God wants you to do, but deep down inside, you still kind of wonder about yourself, maybe your salvation. I don't know. I don't know where you're coming from this morning. You know, maybe you used to be excited about your faith, and you've been a Christian for a long time. You used to be really charged about coming to church and reading your Bible and getting together with fellow followers of Christ. And maybe those things that used to really light you up, and lately you just don't feel like you're moving forward spiritually. You're spiritually exhausted. I've been there. And the thing is, it's not uncommon. None of these things are uncommon. And this whole spiritual thing is really not uncommon. In fact, the latest Barna study showed that half of Americans are tired of the usual type of church experience. We want something more, and we just don't seem to be getting it. the current status quo of the church doesn't really help. It kind of seems to be same thing day in, day out. In fact, I came across this quote by a lady. She's got a blog, and I think this is really interesting. She's a blogger. She's an author. She's very much into technology, but she wants to be Amish. Figure that one out. No, she doesn't go to that. Her name's Jamie, and she says, I'm fed up with church. I'm tired of the bureaucracy and complacency and the avoidance of real issues. I'm not fed up with God or Christianity. I'm fed up with church. I think that collectively we're using church as a crutch, something to hold us up and soothe our guilty consciences. The truth is that we know we don't really live for God, but we feel like at least we're doing something by dragging ourselves out of bed on a Sunday morning and honoring our commitment to the Lord. How many of you can relate to that? Tired of church, weary of religion. The good thing is, God promises to give us rest. In fact, if we look at Matthew 11:28, we're going to bring it up on the screen here. We don't mind if you bring your own Bibles. We put it up on the screen so we can all kind of follow along in the same translation, but certainly your own Bible will suffice if you want it. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Doesn't that sound awesome? And I love the way the Message translates it. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that phrase. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That sounds awesome to me. And in John chapter 4, Jesus offered us living water. You guys remember that? And the thing is, like this thing of water here, that's what he offers us, living, clear, crisp water. But I think a lot of times what happens is it stops feeling that way, you know? It stops feeling like living water. It stops feeling fresh and clean. And you start getting into all the stuff that you have to do as a Christian, right? You start. Maybe you're going out and you're going to church on Sunday mornings. You get involved in a Sunday school class. You're getting up early in the morning. You're reading your Bibles, and you're going to this thing. You're doing that thing, and maybe you're buying the T-shirts that have the bad slogans and the bumper stickers. Maybe you're buying all the worship CDs because that's what you're supposed to do. And suddenly, what was once this kind of fresh, clear water suddenly gets murky and starts getting mixed up, and suddenly doesn't seem quite so clear anymore. It doesn't seem quite so living. It seems a little dead. Now, I don't know how many of you are coming here this morning feeling that way. I know I've been there. I felt where this once promising living water suddenly takes on this murky darkness, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it anymore. In fact, when I came to Christ at 19, I actually went to a magic show. Big surprise. Saw a performance by a gentleman named Andre Cole. And in it, he gave this very clear presentation of the gospel. And at the time, I was perfectly happy with my life. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was in college. I had a girlfriend. And, you know, life was cool. I didn't really need much. But something about this offer to me just stood out. And I remember Andre telling me about this abundant life that I could have. And I thought, I want in on that. So that day at 19, I accepted Christ into my life. I was very fortunate. I actually got to spend the next 3 years traveling around the world with this guy, not only learning about magic, but learning about how to live a Christian lifestyle. And he really exemplified that unforced rhythm of grace to me. And I just learned more and more about what it meant to be a Christ follower. Of course, as great as it was learning all those things, I fell into some of the traps that we all fall into, especially probably buying the worship CDs and the bad T-shirts with the slogans. If you look at some pictures of me, you'll see that. And so we get caught up in this murkiness of what is supposed to be the Christian lifestyle. And you add to this the fact that we come into it with different elements that maybe we're hanging on to from our pre-Christian life. Maybe we've got some problems with rage. And so that kind of goes in there and it gets mixed up. Maybe some of you, when you became a Christian, things were going good, but you still had some issues of maybe lust. I don't know. Some of us deal with issues of jealousy, maybe gossiping, slander, who knows? All sorts of things kind of get piled up into this murky mess, and we just can't seem to escape it. We just can't seem to let go of those things in our past. And so they get swirled around into the darkness. And we feel like we're maybe keeping it hidden from everybody because maybe we're continuing to do all these Christian things while letting all that stuff kind of hide in there, deep away from everybody else. Maybe if no one else sees it, we can ignore it too. I don't know about you, but that's not exactly the life that I was signing up to when I came on to be a Christ follower. That unforced rhythm of grace, that abundant life, this didn't seem like it to me. So the question is, how do we get to that place? How do we live that abundant life? How do we get rid of all this stuff? Well, I think it begins by being open and intimate with God. Last week we learned that the way we see God affects the way we see everything else in life. And the same is true here. If we see God as kind of this taskmaster, we'll never be open to him. We'll never let him into our life, really working on those things that he wants to work on. I think part of the problem is we don't really like intimacy. It's scary. I think some of us, if we're honest, intimacy kind of this thing that might be okay, but really I might get hurt if I'm open, if I reveal part of myself. And we think, of course, that because we're doing all these Christian-y things, that God's not going to see what's going on inside. Really? I came across a quote by a guy named Calvin Miller, and I love this. It says, "A passion to obey Christ is born out of our relationship with him. The more we love him, the more we want him to be a part of our affairs." And that means every part of our affairs. Not just, you know, the little church part that we do or the little this part that we do. It's every part of our affairs. In fact, I another blog friend of mine actually turned me on to, a guy named Stephen Furtick out of North Carolina. And he said this year, he's a pastor, and he said this year he's not putting God first. That sounds kind of weird, right? Not putting God first. Every year we say, "I'm going to put God first this year." He says, "I'm not putting God first." He had a really good reason for it, though. He says, when you put God first, when you say, "Okay, I'm going to put God first, and then I've got to put my wife, and then I'll put my career," you're making this delegation, this list of where God can go. And so what he said is, rather than putting God first, he's putting God at the center. At the center of everything he's doing this year, he wants God to be a part of it. And I think that's what God wants. He wants us to have that open intimacy with him where he is a part of everything we're doing. And how do we get to that place? Well, I think if we can put up the Matthew passage again real quick. It begins by, what does he say? "Take my yoke upon you." Now, a yoke, most of us, I think, know, is kind of this harness thing that binds a couple animals together, right, and gets them moving forward. But in the ancient world, the religious leaders, the rabbis of the time, their sets of rules and regulations were what they called their yoke. And at the time, there were some of these leaders who had put so many commands and so many rules and obstacles on the shoulders of the common person that they just walked around under this incredible sense of burden. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to keep moving forward while dragging this thing behind me. And so when Jesus says to us, "Take my yoke upon you," saying, come, learn from me. Let me teach you my ways. And his yoke is easy to bear, and the burden he gives you is light. So, what does that mean? How do we take up his yoke? It means spending time with him, learning from him, getting to know him more and more and more, getting that intimacy growing with him, learning to understand those unforced rhythms of grace. Man, I just love that phrase. See, when we do that, when we're really willing to live that way, he's going to work on us. He's going to get inside and he's going to say, let me take care of those things. In fact, maybe he says to you, you know, hey, Fred, we don't have a Fred in here, do we? Maybe he's saying to you, Fred, let me dig inside there. Let me get down there. I know you're dealing with that issue. I know, Fred, you've got that sense of jealousy. Let me deal with that. Maybe he's saying to you this morning, David, I know you've got that problem with lust. You don't need to deal with that. Let me handle it. Perhaps he's speaking to you this morning. He says, Edward. Edward, you've got that rage. You vampire, you. You got that rage. You got that anger. Let me take care of it. He's saying to us, let me come in. Let me deal with that. You don't have to face that issue. I got that covered. Let me just handle it. And if we do, take care of it. The thing I think is really cool, well, here's the thing, though. Some of us will leave it at that, right? We come to Christ and we say, I've been forgiven of my sins, and we leave it at that. We think, I've got my get-out-of-hell-free card. I don't need anything else. The problem is, we continue to live with all this stuff going on, all this swirling around. I think it's cool that God doesn't say, hey, come to me clean before I'll work on it. He doesn't say, you know, you got to fix this up before I'll get in there and help you out. He gets in there and does the work for us. I think it's even cooler that if we will let God kind of mix in and get all this stuff out of our lives, that then he'll continue to work on us. He'll continue to go deep inside of us and try to clear us out of all those other things that we're dealing with, all that stuff that we think we have to do in order to live that life that he's calling us to. Now, I don't know about you this morning. I don't know where you're falling on all this. I don't know if this is making any sense to you guys. But I think this is the living water that Jesus was talking about. The living water, the free, the clear, crisp water. I came across this great quote by a guy named Mark Batterson. He's a pastor out of D.C. And he's got this new book called Soul Print, which I highly recommend. And says, Jesus didn't die just to get us off the hook. He also died to resurrect the person we were destined to be before sin distorted the image of God in us. And he doesn't just set us free spiritually. He also sets us free emotionally and relationally and intellectually. We are held captive by so many things. We're held captive by our imperfections and our insecurities. We're held captive by our guilt and anxiety. We're held captive by expectations and lies and mistakes. Jesus died to set us free from all of the above. He doesn't just set us free from who we were. He sets us free to become who we were meant to be. Salvation is not the end goal. Salvation is a new beginning. When we give our lives to Christ, God goes to work. He offers us rest. He offers us restoration, renovation. It begins by being open and letting God work in our lives. I want to put up another passage real quick. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Now, the first time I heard that passage, It was actually at that show that I saw by Andre Cole. And it was kind of put out to me as though this is what God is saying to the unbelievers out there, right? This is God is saying to the non-Christian world, stand at your door, let me in. There's a problem with that. And the problem is, Jesus in this passage is speaking to the church at Laodicea, people who already knew who Christ was and had already accepted him into their lives. He's essentially saying to them, I'm here. Just let me come in and do what I'm here for. And that whole thing about meals, in the ancient world, sharing a meal was kind of an act of friendship and solidarity. It's very, very meaningful. And Jesus is saying, I'm knocking at the door of the church of Laodicea, saying to the believers who have already confessed their faith in me, will you open the door and let me come in so we can experience this journey together? See, I think Jesus is still saying this. He's saying it to Crosspoint right now. He's saying, Crosspoint, I'm here. Let me in. Let me be a part of this journey that you're on. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And all we have to do is be open, let him in. He's going to do that renovation. So what are some ways that we can go about knowing God more and really experiencing this? Well, I think, first of all, it starts by, you know, by getting into his word, but not getting into his word because you have to. Getting into his word because you want to. Because you want to know what he's trying to do, what he's all about. I think it also helps to be in prayer. And one of the great things that I've found over the last few years is prayer is not just, you know, before meal, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. It's not just, you know, this, hey God, you know, I've got this test this week, can you help me pass it? Be great. It's an intimate, active relationship with him. And there's so many ways that you can pray. There's, I mean, just in the last few years, you know, I've discovered a bunch of different ways. There's contemplative prayer. There's, you know, intercessory prayer. There's praying with color, where you actually draw out your prayers. And some of you have experienced that, and it's, for me, it's been awesome. I've loved it. Find what's working for you. Find what's going to get you in touch with where God is and what he's wanting to do in your life. Another thing that I think helps, and one of the things we kind of stress around here, is joining a home journey team. I think a lot of times when we get tired, when we get stressed out on things, we tend to pull away. You know, we tend to kind of get into our little cluster and say, I can handle this. The problem is God has placed people into our lives to help us, to help be with us on this journey, to help come around us and open their arms and their hearts to us, and we need to let them. And so when you join a home journey team, it's you get that opportunity. You get to meet new people. You get to meet people who are going to become your best friends. And I know I have. And then finally, just be willing to look for where God is working in your life. He's all around you, constantly doing things. You just need to be open to what he's trying to say to you. Cool? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you that you've given us an opportunity to know you more and more and more, that you've opened your heart to us, and that you've shown us your love, and you've given us ways to get to know you deeper and better. We pray that as we go about this week, that you will show yourself to us continually, and that we will be vigilant for seeking out those places where you are. In Jesus' name.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.